Welcome back to another episode of On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, where we take you to the front lines and behind the scenes of our work around the world. I'm your host, Christy Graham, and today we're sharing my full conversation with longtime ministry partner, Michael W. Smith. If you heard last week's episode, you got to hear a small portion of the interview, but we wanted to share the full conversation today. Last week, you heard the excitement and anticipation of Operation Christmas Child volunteers as they prepared to worship with Michael W. Smith and celebrate all God has done over 30 years of packing shoeboxes. I spoke with Michael W. Smith just days before he was at our Global Connect conference, which was celebrating 200 millionth shoebox gifts reaching the hands of children in need. Michael W. Smith is an award-winning musician, a best-selling author, and acclaimed actor. He's performed all over the world to sold-out crowds of loyal and inspired fans. And during Michael's career, he's been honored with 3 Grammy Awards, 45 Dove Awards, and so much more. But beyond that, he's a selfless servant who has given back to the global community. And he's been a longtime partner of Samaritan's Purse. He's helped distribute Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes and served people after disasters. I asked him to share how he first got connected with the ministry.
Well, I first met Franklin, and I met Franklin through his daddy, through Billy, and I think I did my first crusade with Billy probably in '88, but it really wasn't until October of '94 when we did the first youth night, and that was monumental on so many levels, and that's where I really became close to Billy, and so we did many youth nights together until I got older. And we had passed the baton, but I did it for many years. And so that's, and I met Franklin through all that, you know, and then obviously found out about Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child. And so I've traveled the world with Franklin, and I've handed out a lot of shoeboxes, and it never gets old. The whole thing's changed my life, and my kids have been involved as well to give out shoeboxes. I've been in Guatemala, which was kind of a game changer for them. So all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Operation Christmas Child, I mean, there's so many great projects that reach children, but this one is specifically for children. It is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, yes, getting a shoebox and getting gifts, you know, you've witnessed it. Many of these kids, this is the first time they've been given a gift. Yeah. Or had something of their very own, especially things we take for granted, like crayons and pencils. But so you've watched the joy of receiving a box. But what's more important is they're introduced to Jesus, many for the first time. They hear the gospel in their language, you know, but also oftentimes with a booklet, The Greatest Gift. You know, they get to be introduced to Jesus and discipled through the church that invites them. So talk to me about, yeah, just how you've seen the joy of a gift introduce the ultimate gift, which is Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I probably really won't know until I get to the other side. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows how many millions of kids' lives have been changed, radically changed by the love of God. I just, to be able to stand there and watch these kids open up their gifts is like, it's hard to put into words, you know? Mm-hmm. This is probably maybe the only gift that this kid will receive every year, you know, predominantly third world countries and at least the ones I've been to. And it's just remarkable, you know? And I mean, we've heard the stories where, you know, these kids' lives have been changed. They accepted Jesus into their heart. And we'll never know until we get to the other side. But I believe the whole shoebox thing is expanding the kingdom of God big time.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've been to so many different countries. You've seen so many distributions. But is there a particular outreach or child that has made a lasting impression on you? I'm sure there's so many.
Well, I think probably my greatest memory, honestly, was South Africa, and we were in Johannesburg, and I remember I was getting ready to sing for these kids, and they all were terminally ill. There were 14 segments of this hospital. We just ended up being in just one of them, but mainly all these kids were dying, and I remember I couldn't sing. I was so choked up. They sang a song for me, which is Jesus' Number One. I won't get into all that, but that was a lasting impact on me. But I think the big thing is I got to take my box to a little kid, a little girl who was 6 years old, who was blind. And I helped her open up her shoebox. She was laying in bed. And everything in that shoebox had to do with touch and feel and hearing. It's almost like, and it was a family from California. It's almost like they knew they were making this shoebox for someone who was blind. I can't explain it, but everybody who was on the team saw what happened. And it just was, and so I was a mess. I was a mess. And she was so happy. I'll never forget it.
I love that. And that's why Franklin always says, you know, the most important part is prayer. I mean, it's prayed for every step of the way. And as our national leadership team receives them and gets these cartons into the hands of kids, we pray that the right box goes to the right child. And you're right. It is, God is the God who sees. He sees these kids where they are. He knows their hearts and their desires. And that is so incredible. And you hear that all the time, but that's why I wanted you to share a story, because I want people to know packing how important it is to bathe that box in prayer.
That's definitely the most memorable. And then now, honestly, Christy, just doing it with your kids. I mean, now we not only did it with our children, now we're doing it with our grandchildren. And it's a big deal. It's a big, big deal. And so, I have a feeling we're going to be doing this many years to come.
I do love it. I know. I tell my kids, you can be missionaries in your living room, you know, as you pack, as you pray, and you're sending this out to the ends of the earth. And speaking of that, you are singing and you're part of the Operation Christmas Child Global Connect Conference coming up. Yeah, as we celebrate the huge milestone of the 200 millionth shoebox. But national leaders, staff, volunteers from all over the world that allow us to get these boxes into the hands of the kids, they're going to be there. And so you're going to be singing and worshiping and praising and celebrating what God has done. Because this milestone is God. You know, He has allowed this to happen. And as you mentioned, 200 million, we would have never dreamed, asked, or imagined that this would happen. What does it mean for you to be a part of this weekend? And, you know, years ago when you started doing this, did you ever think that God could do something like this?
Well, I think God can do anything. I don't think you can ever look that far down the road and go, oh my gosh, we're going to be celebrating 200 millionth. I mean, that's like, it almost doesn't compute, you know, like really that many people have gotten involved and caught the vision. So to me, my role is, man, I'm just going to celebrate with everybody there. I know people are flying in from all around the world. I'm honored that I got asked to be a part of it, you know, so we're going to worship. We're going to celebrate. We're going to sing songs of celebration, and it's going to be a memorable night. That's incredible. I'll have my Kleenex ready. So.
Well, it is just awesome to celebrate. And like I said, we couldn't do this without our partners around the world, you know, that they are involved with the local church, and it's a joy to allow them to have this tool, you know, to share the gospel. And part of another thing I love about the shoeboxes, I mean, yes, the gift itself is exciting. You know, the people that receive the gift, they may not have the items tangibly anymore, but they can remember the experience and what God did, how He showed His love to them by getting that box. But what's more important is the gospel and the discipleship that came after, you know, and now we have the curriculum, The Greatest Journey, you know, the 12-week curriculum that churches can disciple these kids and teach them about Jesus, how to be a disciple. They end up sharing the gospel. A lot of times their parents come to know Christ and grandparents, and part of that, in fact, I encourage people as they pack, order the material, do it with your kids. You know, my kids, we've done it. It's a great curriculum, but each week there's a memory verse. And I actually heard you share that your pastor, you know, encouraged you to memorize scripture. Mm-hmm. How has God taught you how to, or how have you learned how to memorize scripture? Because I know that's important to you.
Yeah, well, and unfortunately, I still have cheat sheets. I have my iPad for my lyrics, you know. And for some reason, I always struggled at memorization. But when Dawn, you know, my pastor quoted the whole book of Colossians to me on a hike. We sat down on a bench. First time we'd ever sat on a bench. We always just hike. We did it for three decades. And we sat on the bench this one time, and he quoted the whole book of Colossians to me. And it's almost like he wrote it to me. I didn't really realize until about 30 seconds in that he was quoting Colossians. Mm-hmm. I remember going, I've got to learn how to do that. And then I just stayed at it. I thought, I can do this. So it's sort of like it's a discipline.
Right.
You know, you take one line at a time, you have your little cheat sheets in your head. you know, everybody's going to have their own way of memorizing. Mm-hmm. But once you get it, and once you memorize a section of scripture, you go, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And I've memorized complete chapters of things now. And I have Psalm 139 on, it's in me. It'll never go away. Mm-hmm. And I still quote that live. It's probably my favorite of a chapter in the Bible. It's probably my favorite chapter in the entire book. Mm-hmm. And then I think the great thing about memorizing scripture is, especially the Psalms, you know, we're going to have days where we just feel lost, and we're just mm-hmm. going to feel like the dots are not connecting, and you feel just a little out of sorts. And then if I can't find something to pray about, I just pray the Psalms. You know, all those scriptures are just so powerful, you know. Mm-hmm. And what I love about the Psalms is that David is very, very honest. And I love that he shared his struggles, and even to the point going, God, where are you? You know, we've all been there. But to be able to turn that around, but no matter what happens, God, I will put my trust in you all the days of my life. Mm-hmm.
And speaking to God, where are you, and heartache, you know, Samaritan's Purse, you've also been a part of the project with U.S. Disaster Relief, you know, and you have been on the ground after many tornadoes and natural disasters. And you have walked with homeowners and worked with Samaritan's Purse as we ministered after destruction. So talk to me about what that's been like, that aspect of the ministry, because it's a different kind. You know, it's going in after destruction and heartache, and to offer physical help by clearing debris and maybe rummaging through their house, you know, to help find things. But it's the ministry of presence. What has deploying with Samaritan's Purse after storms, what has that taught you, and what have you learned from the homeowners?
Yeah. Whew, that's a big one. Yes. Yeah, because you don't, I think honestly, the best thing that I do is just be present. Hmm. We move stuff around, we help, you know, we help clear the houses, but just being present and realizing that this could happen to my house, mm-hmm. could happen in my neighborhood, you know. So there's a sense of compassion that wells up inside of you for those who are hurting. And these, in essence, at least a lot of the places I've been, they lost everything, literally lost everything. And so being present, praying with them, and praying that the church, especially the church in there where they live, will come to the rescue and walk this thing out with them, and not only the days to come, but the years to come. Mm-hmm. And then I just obviously, you know, I love what Samaritan's Purse does on the ground. They're there to just be a beacon of hope. You know, you're going to help these people, but you're also going to share Christ with them. And many of these people don't have a relationship with God. So, and we won't know till we get to the other side to find out how many lives have been changed by that. But it's remarkable, the incredible work that they do on a daily basis. And of any organization, relief organization, I don't know anybody who's that quick on the ground after a disaster. And I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, the local church. That is why we can go and do what we do. You know, they say we're like the work gloves, but we need the people, you know, to fill it. And so we have the resources, but we need the people, and we work with the local church. And I love that about Samaritan's Purse. Every project, Operation Christmas Child, North America Ministries, all the aspects, we work with the local church because we want people that know and love and serve that community. But we bolster them. We go alongside them. And so it's a partnership, but it's the body of Christ in action. And so it's a joy. And like you said, but the church is important because they're the ones who will be there long after Samaritan's Purse is gone, and we want them to remember. And you got to see that, you know, in your hometown of Nashville when the tornadoes came through. I mean, churches gathering together to support the community, I'm sure, has left a rippling effect, mm-hmm. and years of ministry to come.
I agree. Yeah.
And so, and speaking to, you know, again, heartache and destruction, I love how you share your testimony and your struggles with depression. And I love the way that God met you. And we have a ministry as well, Operation Heal Our Patriots, for wounded soldiers and their spouse to go to Alaska. It's a marriage retreat. But we see, I mean, all people struggle with depression, but especially some of our veterans, you know, the post-traumatic stress, the injuries that they've sustained, they're long-term and they're going to have it their entire life. And so I think certain things come, waves of depression come through. And so I just wondered, you know, what would you say? Cause I know God met you and he used that to radically, I think, change your life. You wrote songs and he fueled you, but what would you say to people that are struggling with depression? What helped you when you were at your lowest?
Whew. Well, I had a lot of people praying for me, especially my mom and dad. You know what? I just think it was the whole depression thing is very, it's difficult, you know, because you don't know what, how much of it is, you know, obviously traumatic. These soldiers are experiencing stuff that I never experienced, war, getting shot at or blown up or whatever. But, you know, my whole thing with depression, it was just, it was the weirdest thing. It kind of came out of nowhere. But somehow in the middle of all of that and being in this valley for way too long, it was about 6 months, I knew God was in it somehow. And I never lost hope. And honestly, I just kept going back to the scriptures of what about the love of God and how much he loves me. And I would just talk to God going, I don't understand. I don't understand why I feel this way, but I trust that you know what you're doing. I would say things like that. And I would beg God for a rescue. Would you just rescue me? And one day it happened. And those are the things that we don't understand, the timing of God and why he allows certain things to happen. And why did it take 6 months? Why didn't you answer the next day? I mean, all those things we have. But I believe I have a song that I sing and I still probably will sing it the rest of my life called Sovereign Over Us. And that bridge says, even what the enemy means for evil, he turns it for the good. And even in the valley, he's working it for our good. So in the midst of all that, he's doing something. And then now here I am, gosh, 25 years later, after that little bout of depression in the 90s, he worked for the good. You know, I'm stronger. I'm better. I'm more equipped. My trust level is way, way much deeper. My faith has never been higher, not only for myself, but for my community and for the world, honestly, even in the middle of a world that's completely upside down. I think God is on the move. And my encouragement would just be, just don't forget, you're not here by mistake. You might feel this thing that's going on. Don't forget. What's he say about you? All the promises of God are true. Every one of them. So just meditate on those promises. That's what I did through that bout. I just going, okay, God, you said, which is my favorite scripture. This might surprise you, but from Psalm 139, it says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. And if I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. So I would say that every day. Okay, God, that's what you said about me, and I believe it. Even though I don't feel it, I believe it.
Well, thank you so much. I know that Sovereign Over Us is actually my favorite song of yours. I love it. And so thank you for giving praises and worship for us to worship when we are low.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, you... circling back, you know, you've traveled the whole world. You are so busy, you know, with singing and writing and so much. And again, you didn't need extra projects and ministries to get involved with, but we love that you have been a longtime partner. And as you mentioned, you have the Easter special coming up. And I loved when you and Franklin did it at the COVID hospital in New York City.
Yeah, Central Park.
2020. You know, that was incredible. So I just want to thank you for being a partner and being willing to use your time and your talents to partner with us over the years. Yeah. But I think, and that was an example, you know, of where that was not a ministry opportunity that Samaritan's Purse had on the agenda at the beginning of the year, you know, but God knew. Yeah. And he allowed you both to, you know, sing and share the gospel in New York City at a COVID hospital.
Yeah. I will never forget that one.
No.
You know, it was so surreal, you know. There's no crowds, there's no, just Franklin and I and a small film crew. And But the feedback from that special was maybe a top five of just people saw that all around the world. And who knows how many people got saved.
Incredible. And yeah, when everyone had, world was shut down, you know, they were able to watch and tune in and yeah. Waymaker became an anthem, I think, in every home. And I love the story of Waymaker and how you discovered it. Can you even share that?
My daughter, Anna, found it. She was kind of going through a really tough time. And she said, "Hey, Dad, have you heard the song called Waymaker?" Mm-hmm. I said, "No." She says, "It's my go-to song." That's what she said. And I said, "Well, if it's your go-to song, maybe it should be my go-to song." Mm-hmm. So she played it for me. I think it was somebody from maybe a Pentecostal church from Ohio. I think it was in Ohio. And I just remember when I heard it and I thought, "Oh my goodness, I think I need to record that song." Mm-hmm. And found out it was written by a girl from Nigeria, Sinash. But most of my friends had never heard the song, mm-hmm. you know. So you just had this thing in your gut. I was getting ready to do this big prayer thing at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, and we were picking out the songs, and I felt like it needed to be a part of the music that night. And the response that night was extremely overwhelming. And then somebody said, which I would always say no to this, because the version from Bridgestone Surrounded was, you know, 7 minutes long. It just went on forever, you know, and it was mm-hmm. awesome. But radio would never play that. But somebody said, you need to record a radio version of Waymaker. And I went, "I'm not going to do it. I've never done that. I've never written a song for radio. And I'm not mm-hmm. going to." I felt like I was playing the game a little bit. And then I remember one night, I just felt the green light going. It's almost like I didn't hear an audible voice, but this whole thing welled up inside of me that sort of was just a yes, going, "You need to record the song." Mm-hmm. And I had the perfect guy, producer Kyle Lee, who felt the same way. And so we did a radio version and mm-hmm. ends up being, you know, a huge, huge, big hit, not only in America, but around the world. But more than that, because I don't care about hits, the timing of the song. The timing of that song and the pandemic. I mean, I just think it was God's timing. And people literally hung on to that song for dear life. And I think it saved a lot of people from being desperate. And it's just a reminder. I don't feel like I preach anything new, honestly. It's just I feel like I've seen these songs. I'm just reminding people of what the gospel says, of what the book says. And I believe he's a way maker. I believe he's still doing stuff. And there was something catchy about the melody, and it just simply worked. And I'm probably going to have to sing that one for the rest of my life as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that.
Well, thank you so much. It's become an anthem in our home. I know our kids love to sing that one, and it's wonderful. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And finally, you know, you've allowed us to see aspects of Samaritan's Purse and what you've seen over the years, but I know people listening, you know, God has a lot of work for you to do, and you're involved in so many different projects and releasing albums. And so how can we be praying for you personally coming up?
Oh, wow. I could have a big old long prayer list. You know what? I think I think probably my biggest need is just sometimes we move so fast in America, especially those who are, I mean, maybe all around the world, but I just know we just move at a fast pace. And I don't think we'll ever totally get downloads from God and really fully understand what he wants us to do until we slow down. And so I have two goals. And so one is to slow down, to be able to turn off the news, turn off the radio, and literally just be quiet. And I go to my farm and do that. So mm-hmm. if you're listening, if you don't have a farm, you don't need a farm. Get a closet. Just go find some place to turn all your devices off. Because I think, I love the scriptures, be still and know that I'm God. And so I think that's key. So that's the number one prayer request. And then number two, I don't know if it's a request, but another one of my goals in life is that I will never, ever be offended by anyone ever again. And I remember a pastor told me that he felt like he was finally getting there. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be the most amazing thing that you didn't really care what people thought about you? And I'm getting there. I think I'm more there than I ever have been. And I'm just so free. Doesn't matter if my record sells. It doesn't matter if I have another number one hit. Doesn't matter. So just my whole alliance is just, and my whole thing is just what's God think about you? So I'm secure in that more than ever. But yeah, thank you for offering to pray. The whole being still thing is, it ignites me and it gives me energy and it gives me clarity of mind about what I'm supposed to do next.
Incredible. Well, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to pray and get more insights into you personally, but also your experience with Samaritan's Purse. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you loved hearing more of his heart and insight from his years of partnership and ministry with Samaritan's Purse. You can find out more about his work at michaelwsmith.com or by going to samaritanspurse.org/listen. Thanks so much for tuning in and have a great week.